Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're going to be talking with Rachel Burns from True Wealth FP, and you can find her online at truewealthfp.com. So make sure to go check out her site in the show notes if you need any help with what we talk about after today's interview. But today's episode is going to be a good one. We're talking about your personal finances and what happens in the event of a major life transition, and really a lot of what that can entail. But as for some podcast business, make sure to check out the show notes to get the 7 Money Talking Points PDF guide for free. All I ask is for your email, and of course, this is so I can keep in touch with you for all things about the podcast. I may start some sort of monthly newsletter in the future, but I'm not sure. But I appreciate all of you who have signed up so far for this guide, and I hope it's been of good help to you. But you can find this podcast online by going to moneytalk.skylarfleming.com, which is also in the show notes with all the other links. You can check us out on social media by searching moneytalk.skylarfleming on Instagram or Facebook. Thank you to everyone who is listening to this podcast, and let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It is a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have much time to research and learn about all things when it comes to personal finances, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Well, what are we going to be talking about today? But the main thing is that there's two people in a relationship, and one of the main things that happens is only one person really handles the finances. This can sometimes lead to stressful relationships, or what we're going to be talking about today is the pain and struggle that can come in the event of some sort of major life event that leaves the two in a relationship separated, be it death or divorce. So if the couple separates, especially in a divorce, it can be an extremely hard situation for the person who doesn't handle the finances the majority of the time. She's suddenly now left with 50% of, he or she is suddenly now left with 50% of the money that they didn't know how it was being handled. So how do they keep doing what they were doing with money so they can enjoy some semblance of the life they had before? Or if someone dies, now you're left with a ton of money that you don't know where it's all at, and you don't know what's going on with it. You don't know how to get the life insurance money because your other partner was the one handling the finances. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get into introducing today's guest. Rachel Burns is a CFP. She specializes in helping people who are going through divorces or who find themselves a widow after the death of a spouse. Major life events, both of these are. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. So without further ado, let's get right into today's interview. Hi, welcome to today's interview with Rachel Burns. Got Rachel Burns here. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, I am a certified financial planner and a certified divorce financial analyst. I'm based in Folsom, which is in Northern California, but I work with people all over the country. And I primarily work with women who have gone through some sort of life transition. So a lot of divorcees and widows. And I help them get their finances back on track after, you know, going through something difficult in their life.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's an exciting topic that I've never really looked into a whole lot. And like, that's what today's episode's titled is Major Life Transitions. So let's get right into our conversation today. And you've already mentioned a few of them, but what are some major life transitions that can have a significant impact on your personal finances?
So it doesn't just have to be death or divorce. I think retirement is a huge life transition that totally changes your financial situation. Having kids, having your kids leave the house, getting married, it could be really anything. There's a lot of events in your life that can trigger a massive change to your financial situation.
Yeah, that's very true. Like you said, marriage is something most people coming into a marriage, especially if you're young, don't have a whole lot of like know-how about personal finances. And then you throw in that big change and it can be a whole lot to handle. So specifically, you said you deal with a lot of people like with death and divorce and those sort of changes, but how can, if you're in a married relationship or with a partner or something, how can one spouse or partner be prepared to handle the finances in the event of a death or a divorce? And especially maybe you can speak to if the spouse who passes on or leaves you is the primary like handler of your finances.
Yeah. So it's really common in any relationship that there is a division of labor where one person handles the finances and the other person handles something else. That's a natural thing that happens, and it's not a bad thing. But the problem is, if you are delegating the financial management to your spouse, you can lose touch with your financial situation to where you don't know where you stand, you don't know how things work, you just don't know what's going on. And that works as long as you guys are together and both of you are well and alive, but unexpected things can happen. And if you are in a position where you need to manage that on your own, it can be a really terrifying time when, on top of dealing with whatever event led you to being single, whether it's death or divorce, now you have this like giant chore of managing the finances, which can be really scary if you haven't done it in a long time or if you've never done it at all. So if you're still in a relationship, even though you have no plans of being single, it's really good to stay involved at least a little bit so that you know what's going on, you're communicating with your spouse about how the finances are being managed, you're talking about your goals together, your financial goals together. Those are good things to do in any relationship. And that's going to make it so that you're not in shock when you are all of a sudden responsible for managing the finances. So it's just like doing little things to stay in touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think finances by themselves can seem daunting, but especially if you're not the one that handles it, and then suddenly you get a divorce or your partner dies, that can be like terrifying almost, and just leave you like stunned, and then you don't know what to do, and bills start falling, and things like that can lead to crazy financial circumstances. So let's speak a little bit more to the death of a spouse. What are some important things to do immediately after in terms of your finances?
What I've noticed is a lot of bills that are paid, you just need to assess anything that needs to be paid now just to keep the household, you know, maintaining itself. And some bills that are not set up on auto pay, you need to make sure that those get paid. And then things that are set up on auto pay, like I've had clients where their spouse passed away, the account that was paying certain bills was frozen because the person passed away and those bills weren't getting paid. And I've had clients where their cell phones shut off, their cable shut off, their internet shut off, and they have money. It's just that these bills are being linked to accounts that are in just one person's name. So really like the first thing, and you don't want to overwhelm yourself, because if your spouse passed away, you're overwhelmed with all sorts of other emotions. But the minimum thing that you can do, and maybe you can have someone help you with this too, is just like get a good sense of what bills need to be paid immediately. And just focus on that one first step and kind of don't worry about the longer term stuff at that point.
Yeah, I think especially with bills, is that's something you can do especially to prepare. Like if you know someone isn't in good health, take the time to write those down before the big event happens. Because like you said, you're going to be so overwhelmed just with the fact that your spouse died, let alone now your cell phone's shut off. You can't call the people you need to call to get stuff taken care of. And like, that sounds stressful. It sounds stressful to me just to have my phone shut off, let alone like if I'm trying to deal with the weight of like my spouse passing away.
Absolutely. It can get extremely overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that point. What are some things, like bills are obviously very important. What are some things that can be put off or that you don't really need to worry about as much as, I guess, maybe we think if there's a divorce or a death?
So once the immediate needs are taken care of, then you really need to start organizing your finances just so that you know where you stand, you know, all the individual pieces of your financial puzzle, especially if your spouse was managing a big chunk of that. You want to start gathering information. So you want to start gathering all of your account statements, all of your credit card statements. If you have you know, retirement accounts. If your spouse had a pension, you want to get details on that. If your spouse had a life insurance policy, that's going to be one of the earlier calls that you make. You just want to get all those things gathered so that you know where you stand. And once you have all that information in one place, then you can see, okay, this is where I am. I need to make some changes going forward now that I'm single. You can start doing some longer term planning at that point.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm thinking about this wrong, but I would almost think too, like if there's some sort of tragic event and you make sure your bills are on auto pay, like I wouldn't even say it's almost maybe it wouldn't hurt you if like your credit cards get a few months of interest while you're like grieving the situation. And then you can start to like adjust your long-term plans and like look at things to figure that out. Maybe a few months down the road, do you think that would be a fair idea? Just as long as like things are getting paid and
yeah,
the main things are in motion.
Yeah. As long as minimum payments are being made and as long as your other urgent bills are being paid, paying a couple of months worth of interest and leaving a balance on a card, that's not going to make that much of a difference in the long run, but you just don't want to like overwhelm yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Just start small.
Yeah. Like if especially something tragic happens, like it can be enough on your plate dealing with the tragedy. So kids are like, if you're well into a marriage and there's a death or a divorce, but especially a divorce, how do you make sure your kids are taken care of financially after a divorce?
Well, that is something that is covered during the divorce process in terms of, you know, they calculate about child support and alimony and things like that. So that is something that's going to be determined based on, like, especially child support, that's based on like a formula state by state. But once things are actually split and you are coming up with a plan on your own for your children, I think just coming up with a budget is really important, because once you're divorced, your income will look a lot different and your expenses look a lot different. And you need to have a good idea of all of the costs that go along with maintaining your household. And you probably did a fair amount of that during the divorce process, but just having a budget so that you are keeping your expenses in line with your long-term goals. And kids are a really easy thing to spend a lot of money on. I have to, so I know, but it's really easy to get carried away with kid-related expenses. And it's good to just have a little bit of structure in your budget and know what you're planning for. So if like saving for college is something that's really important, build that into your budget now. Don't worry about it when the kids are 17 and applying for college.
Yeah, I think, well, I very much think a budget is important, like when you're married and not single, but especially when you're having to, like two separate people are having to mesh their finances through kids. A budget, I think, is like absolutely crucial. So you don't overspend or underspend, I guess, too, to make sure you're meeting your part, like with child support and things like that. So how can, this is where you can kind of plug yourself a little bit, but how can working with a financial planner help you after going through a divorce or death of a spouse? And how can people reach you for more information?
Yeah. So working with a financial advisor can, I like when everyone specializes in their own thing. I'm the finance person. I just do the finances. I'm not good at fixing things around the house. That's my husband's job. Everyone should stick to what interests them and what they're good at and delegate the rest. So if finances are not something that you enjoy thinking about or that you feel confident about, or if you don't have the time, you can absolutely have an expert come in and help take that off of your plate for you, or not to take it off. They're going to work with you to help you, but you don't have to be an expert in every single thing. And finances are something that I think it's really worth it to have some expert advice so that you don't have to take the time to figure it out on your own, make mistakes along the way. I mean, it's not something that you can just like Google your way through. You really do need to loop in some expert help there. And so I think in general, working with a financial advisor, that's kind of the benefit of working a financial advisor. And when you are going through a difficult transition, that's an even better time to delegate the things that you don't have time for, that you don't want to think about, because there's so much other stuff. There's plenty on your plate already. It's like, get that financial worries off of your shoulders, because it doesn't, you don't need to do that on your own. You really don't. And it might seem like, oh, I don't have the money, or I don't have enough money to work with an advisor or whatever. Advisors work, there are all sorts of different advisors that charge differently. They work in different ways. You'd be surprised that at the number of financial advisors out there who work with people that are just in your situation that are actually accessible. And so I really encourage people, like, if your finances is something that concerns you, that causes you stress, that you really want to get your arms around, get some help, and someone can come in and help you really, they can make a big difference really quickly. You don't have to like suffer through it.
Yeah, and I think too, even if like you're worried saying, oh, I just went through this divorce, I don't think I'll have the money to pay for an advisor, it doesn't hurt to ask, because they might have a network of people that could help you better, or those sort of things. So like if that's something, like you said, you want to delegate, just ask somebody, figure out if they know someone who knows someone, like there could be a lot of connections made that could really help you, especially when it comes to your finances. But how can people connect with you, or how can they reach you if they need some help with this sort of thing?
So I would say you could start with my website. It's trueworthfp.com. F as in financial, P as in planning. And my website has several areas where you can book a free strategy session with me. So I really encourage people to take advantage of that. I'm totally happy to chat with whomever. And even if it's not a good fit, I always send people away with some little, you know, tip or a referral to someone or whatever. So that's a good place to start. I'm also all over social media. Instagram is my kind of main thing. It's at TrueWorthFP. And that's a really good place to just kind of keep in contact with me. I'm always posting stuff on there.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure to link all of that stuff in this episode's show notes. And Rachel, I really appreciate you coming on here and talking about a subject. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about this. I'm pretty young when it comes to this, and I haven't touched this side of things, thankfully. But so thank you for coming on. We'll make sure everything's linked so people can reach you if they want to. And yeah, thank you. Thank you a whole bunch to Rachel for coming on the podcast. And let's go over some of the key points that I took away from the interview. One is, things can be divided up, but you need to keep tabs on especially your personal finances. If your husband is the one who manages all the money, the wife or the other partner needs to make sure that they are keeping some tabs on the money, or vice versa. You need to make sure if things are being separated that you at least know what's going on, especially in the event that some sort of major life transition happens. You need to like know a little bit about what's going on. And I think another key point that I think of when I think of this topic is to be prepared with documents and have a plan. If I die, my wife has this one document to look at to say, hey, here's all the numbers for the banks where all our money's at. Here's the life insurance policy number. Like, if you need help with this thing, call this person. Don't expect them to know everything you know if you're the person running the personal finance stuff in your family. Just give them a list of bullet points to just slowly go through. And I think another thing is to take it slowly. We talked about in the interview, if you get 3, 4, 5 months of credit card interest because you're in a painful life transition because of the death of a spouse, that's okay. It's not going to derail your entire financial life. Now, leaving that for a long time probably could, because when that stuff starts to add up, it can be really detrimental to your finances. But if you're if you're the primary financial caretaker and manager, have that document that outlines for your significant other all the pieces of your personal finance plan and who to call for help. And the last key point is to make sure to talk to people. If your spouse leaves you and you don't know what to do about money, ask somebody, ask Rachel. Like I said, you can reach out to her and she can help. This is her expertise area. If you're not sure, just ask anybody. Like if you have, if most of the situations I feel, at least like in my life, I were to die and my wife was left to manage the money, she would have the numbers of the people to call because we're prepared on that front. But I would hope for her or whoever's left in the situation where they're now finding themselves being the only person handling the finances, ask someone who knows about money, like of your same gender, especially that can help you through the situation, or anyone really, but ask someone who knows what they're doing about money and say, hey, can you, I don't know how to set up bill pay. My husband always did it, or my wife always did it, and I'm just not sure. Can you help me with that? Like something simple like that, that just you feel like everyone knows, but you need a little bit of help. So make sure you're talking to people. That's the whole point of this podcast, is to get talking. So I hope this can help drive some conversations for you and your significant other. If you're in a relationship, if you're not, these are some things to consider if you do get into a relationship. Just some main ideas to keep in mind, that if you mesh your finances, some of the things you need to take into consideration in case they separate at some point. So next, I have some key thoughts of my own about this topic, and let's go over those next. Okay, so a lot of these key points are, and my conclusion about this topic is going to be similar to my thoughts about the interview, but I just wanted to wrap them up outside of the scope of the interview. And the first thing is make sure you're working together on your personal finances, so that if there is some sort of unfortunate separation, whether it be a death or a divorce, it's not terrifying for the person who's not managing the finances. Because I'm thinking in a divorce situation, if one person is managing the finances, that could seem very terrifying for the person who doesn't, when they think, what's going to happen to all the money? Like, we're planning on getting separated. Should we start separate bank accounts? But you don't want to bring that up because you're not the one who handles the money, and that might be a touchy subject for the other spouse or whatever. So like, make sure you're always working together, so it just keeps you on equal ground when it comes to the money. The next thing is combined effort and knowledge in a relationship is key when it comes to money. And I think that's illustrated that I've said that plenty of times, to make sure you're working together. And not only is it so you can both make it in the event of some sort of major life event, but it helps you do better with your money in general when you're working together. No resentment towards each other's choices when one person's spending more than the other, because one person realizes they need to be saving money and the other doesn't, because you're not working together in your personal finances. So I'm definitely on the side of, if you're in a relationship and your lives are meshed, mesh your money, especially if you're married. If you're dating and you've just been dating for a long time, maybe it really works for you that you keep your finances separate. But if you're married, I think you need to have your money together, and you need to be working on that same front, because I think it unlocks a lot of opportunities for married couples, especially when you have your personal finances woven together and you're unified on that front. But next, let's wrap up today's episode. Well, I sure hope you're enjoying Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. As always, if you have any episode suggestions or questions for me that you would like me to answer, please email me at moneytalk@skylarfleming.com. And you can also contact me through our website, moneytalk.skylarfleming.com. And be sure to check out Rachel online if you want any more info from her. You can find her online at truewealthfp.com. But thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.